Well, welcome to week three of Ministry Without a Collar. For those that need a recap, I'm Martha Metzler, mama to three hilarious, rambunctious boys, wife to smart and handsome Sam, and then my full-time gig is I'm a high school therapist. The first week, if you have missed it, the first week, week one, we covered how to do everyday ministry with our neighbors, with our friends, with our coworkers. And then in week two, we talked about how to share the love of God and the grace of God in our business world, in our careers. And now week three is going to be about how to do ministry without a collar as a parent. So I know you all came expecting to hear the formula for how to be the perfect parent. I know. You failed. You're not going to get it. The door's there if you need to change. And just in case you have any disillusions that I have it together, as a parent, this is actual footage from my house at 6:45 this morning. Yep. This is how I wake up every single morning to a dance party in WrestleMania. I don't know if that's what your house looks like. If not, invite me over, please. Give me an escape. I'm feeling pretty good about my street cred with this, you know, session this morning. But this week was surprisingly the hardest for me. And I kept asking myself, like, why? Why am I having such a hard time getting started? And I think it's because it's the one that I put the most pressure on myself for. I'm in the weeds, and I counsel parents for my job. I work with high school kids, and then I have young kids, so I'm in a constant state of analyzing parenting. It's the one I hold closest to my heart. Some of the thoughts that are going through my head every night, am I showing Jesus to my kids enough? Are they seeing my sin too much? Am I going to fill up the curse jar by Wednesday? Am I passing along generational sin after generational sin? Will they love God forever? How can I keep them safe? How can I make holy living cool? And why in the world did God allow free will to exist? And what I've come to realize is that no one hands you a script. There's no one-size-fits-all solution for parenting, especially Christian parenting. And many have tried, as you can see from the stack of books that I have bought in. And y'all, that is just a fraction of the parenting books that I bought. Half of them are at work, and half of them are on my bookshelves. And I'm convinced that the people of at Amazon, like, know they have completely found a sucker in me, because, like, the suggested for you titles at the bottom, they're like, sibling without rivalry. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do it, and then my house won't sound like WrestleMania. Spoiler alert, I bought it, I read it, my house still sounds like WrestleMania. But I've read them all, and I remember I saw, and it wasn't in a book, and it was one of those like bumper sticker kind of things, and it said, parent by faith, not by formula. And I was like, oh, y'all, I could be driving a Lamborghini with all the money I've spent on parenting books and trying to find the formula instead of my swagger wagon, my minivan outside. But I've read dozens and dozens of parenting books. In my work, I have pored over case studies of parenting and different tactics and different styles and what to do wrong and what to do right. And I had to realize, in order for me to find out how to, you know, parent and ministry without a collar to my kids, and for your kids, is to go to Scripture and seek stillness. So I spent a lot of time in both, and I found some common themes that kept sticking out to me. And these questions were the ones that I have to ask myself, because they provide the framework of doing ministry without a collar and parenthood as a call to raise our kids to do ministry of their own. So some of the questions I had to ask. Do our kids see that we love God, and how? Do they feel God's love through us and by us? Have we given them a sense of belonging in our family, just as God has given us a sense of belonging in his kingdom and his family? And do we give ourselves grace when we inevitably fail? And do we let them be a witness to that and truly hold our kids up with open hands? And lastly, do we pray? So let's look at the first one. Do our kids see that we love God? So you know I always like to start it out to wake you up a little bit. Circle up. You guys can circle up. You guys can all circle up. So gather, and then I want to give you just a little bit of time to talk through one way that each of you is doing or have done or have seen a way to show God that you love God to your kids. All right? Circle up. Yes, you have to talk to each other. You have to engage. Morning. If you're coming, just hop in a group. We're just gathering really quickly to talk about a way we've seen that that our kids can see we love God. Morning. Hey, just hop in a group. We're talking really quickly, just talking about how our kids see we love God. All right, I'm going to give y'all 1 minute to kind of wrap up, and then we'll gather back up. All right. I think what's so exciting is that I feel like we have parents kind of from all seasons, with adult kids, young kids, in the middle. And so I would love, can each group just kind of share a little nugget of truth that you guys talked about? Those are all good. I love that. What about y'all? I know some of y'all are in the weeds like I am, so let's hear it. Are all good things. All right. Y'all are like, oh, my answers just got taken. Yeah. Awesome. I like that. Okay. So again, we got to go to scripture. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, which is like, to me, the first kind of Shazam of parenting. So, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That second paragraph, you know, it's, how often do we talk about them? The commandments. How often do they see us loving God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength, our whole soul? Do we talk about them in the car ride? On the way home, when we sit at home, when we're getting up, when we're lying down. And I mean, write them on the door frames of your houses. Y'all, it's never been easy. Joanna Gaines made that really easy. There's like farmhouse signs for every scripture that are in every store and Etsy everywhere. You can take that literally. And there will be times, you know, that we have to be outward with it and talk about it. Do we love God with our whole heart, with our soul, with all of our strength? And I think the great thing about God's love is that it can look a lot of different ways. There will be times when our kids need to see the quiet love of God. There will be times when they need to hear about our love of God. And there are going to be times where we have to show them by saying no to some things that are keeping us from loving God with our whole heart and our strength. And that might mean not pursuing the parenting mold that our culture says is okay, and pursuing the parenting mold that Scripture says is okay. And saying yes to that commandment may mean saying no to a lot of things that contradict it in our culture. And being okay with it, being peaceful with that. I spent this week weeping with a mom of a high school girl that she kind of had to keep her daughter out of some things that the rest of her friends were doing, which of course we all know in reality, not everyone was doing them, but that is the way she felt, and that is what she told her mother, or screamed to her mother, that she was the only one that was keeping her from doing these things. And the mother felt a genuine sadness that she had hurt her daughter, you know, by, and her daughter was having to feel that feeling of being left out. And what I tried to talk to the mom about and encourage her and love her in is that truth. You're not only modeling that you are confident in what you know your values are and what your family values are, but also you're modeling for the future that your daughter knows how to stand for what she believes in, even when it's not popular, even when it goes against the grain of our culture. Something else is, how do we speak God's word in our family? They make devotionals for every age now. It has never been easier. My boys know that Daddy and I get up really early every morning to spend time with Jesus. We wake up so that we can pray, we can read our Bibles, we can read our devotionals. And every now and then when they get up earlier than they should and we hear their little tiptoes coming in to the living room and they see us sitting in the couches with our Bibles, they always say, the first thing they say when we shoot them the eyes, like, why are you out of your bed? They say, we're gonna be quiet. We know you guys will have in your Jesus time. They know that's our backbone. They know that's just as strong. I know it should be stronger than our cup of coffee in the morning. We need both of those things to get a going in the morning. And I have young children, and there are three devotionals and kids' Bibles that I did want to share with you guys just as resources that we do with our family. This, if you guys don't have this for young kids or your grandchildren or your grandnieces and nephews, it's amazing. The Jesus Storybook Bible. My kids and I read this all the time. And y'all, I have found myself tearing up at how the author frames through the Old Testament and the New Testament. She always brings it back to the fact that we are rescued by God and the good news that we are rescued. Jesus Calling is a really popular devotional for adults. They make a kids one, Jesus Calling for Kids. This is what we do around the breakfast table. It is quick. It is a way they can understand. And then, you know, at the end, they kind of get to hear, if God was sitting at our dinner, you know, our breakfast table in that chair, what he would say to you. And lastly, so my oldest is a budding scientist. That is the way his brain works. I love it. I found this incredible devotional called Indescribable, and it's 100 devotions about God and science. And how we can see all truth is God's truth. And it weaves them together and talks about, even so much as talking about all the different bones of the body and how incredible that God has named each one through the scientists and through science. It's pretty awesome and really unique. And then if you've got tweens or teens, there's a new one that's just come out for tween girls called Fearless Faith, and it's by, she's a really funny author. This is, from what I hear from a lot of my parents who've got middle school age and high school girls, this is the first one they found that's not cheesy. So I wanted to kind of give a few resources. And then last, do you make faith fun in your family? You know, we love having serious conversations about God, and then we also like having silly conversations. Like, do we think God has toenails? How big do we think his feet is? Every time it thunders, is that God burping? You know, and then we also, and you know, something that I've been working on for a few years is writing a children's book series about the fruits of the Spirit and kind of personifying them for my kids. And so, if anyone knows a publisher, you let me know. But we have the patient peach, and the self-controlled strawberry, and the kind kiwi, and the persevering pineapple. And we make up stories about how those things can weave into our actions. We make it fun, because here's the great thing. Do they know they can talk to God like they talk to us? As the ultimate parent, do they know the silly questions they ask us as they're falling asleep and stalling at bedtime? They can ask God. They can talk to God that way too. Do they see it? Do they see that we love God in the way that we treat others? A lot of you mentioned that. Do they see us doing ministry without a collar and being the hands and feet of Jesus? Do you guys serve together? Do we serve as a family? There are going to be seasons where that is harder to get out of the house without people screaming or worried that they're going to have, you know, a dirty diaper as soon as you walk into the soup kitchen and you don't know how to change it. There are going to be seasons where it's hard. But we got to do it, and you got to find a way to weave it in. And I know we talked a lot about that in week one. Something that's really fun for us is my boys and I do what's called the love ninja, and Bud gets to be the love ninja. And so we try once a week to do something nice for another family, whether that's deliver supper or bring donuts on a Saturday morning. And so Bud dresses up as a ninja, and we pull into the driveway, and he runs, and he, you know, puts the casserole on the front porch or the donuts, and he rings the doorbell, and then he sprints into the car, and then my minivan squeals out of the driveway, and we go home, and he's like, the love ninja, we won! You know, so we can make it fun. You can make ministry. You can show that you love God in these fun ways that allows your kids to have buy-in. You don't have to drag them kicking and screaming into ministry. In fact, we shouldn't have to drag them kicking and screaming into ministry, because it should be life-giving and fun, both for us and for them. There is a book, don't worry, it's in a stack, called Raising Grateful Kids in an Entitled World. And I think that, and she's got a lot of good nuggets in there, but there was one quote that I wanted to pull out that kind of lies a framework of, she says, I think we were all created to ask the question, what can I do that matters? And my job as a parent is to get my kids to ask it. Because when they do, they might just see the big world and others for the first time. So I think if we look at the second question we brought up is, do they feel God's love through us and by us? I think God gave us, you know, he didn't just give us 1 Corinthians 13 to say at weddings, but to remind us of how he loved us so that we could receive that love and then reflect it onto others. And what an incredible ministry, without a collar, than to teach your kids about God's love by showing it to them. And we look at all of them. Love is patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And I now pronounce you man and wife. I'm just kidding. And so a lot of times, you know, that love, it looks like snuggling on a couch with a book. It looks like wiping tears away after a skinned knee or a broken heart or dropping them off at college. It looks like cheering for them at every game and every play, or encouraging them to be who they are when the stakes are high and also when the stakes are low. But other time, that love looks like discipline. And ministry to our children, you know, God calls us to discipline, to shepherd their hearts and their actions towards the Lord. But within that discipline, we can't shame them or break their spirits, because where is God's hope and grace in that? If we want them to understand the why of obedience, we have to help them fall in love with Jesus, to fall more in love with God so they get the why of obedience. We have to handle their missteps with grace, just as he handles ours with grace. He sees us as his children. And how does he handle our disobedience? Does every time we screw up, does he like send a lightning bolt down or boom thunder of yelling? No, because there wasn't a thunderstorm this morning, and I've sinned like 12 times, and it's 10:30. No, he He's not the temper, he's not the hothead, he's not the cold shoulder either. He's a shepherd. He's gentle but clear. And look at the way he speaks to Thomas when Thomas doesn't believe. He takes him and he looks him in the eye and he talks to them. And he says, I'll show you. I'll show you. And he not only tells them the truth, but he also takes his hand and he guides them and he lets them. He guides his hand to the truth. We got to follow that lead. And showing God's love and grace to our kids in great times, but especially in times where grace has to abound. And sometimes we have to speak that truth, but we also have to lead them in that truth. Sam really loves it when I throw this one out. Ephesians 6:4, and it's from the Message version. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. And I know they're saying fathers and mothers. If you look at the context, like it's, I know it's both. Okay, but don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Sam was looking through this thing and he was like, okay, thanks for throwing me under the bus. And I was like, no. I do it too. There's so many times where I focus on the action and I just yell at the action, stop doing that. And so that's just exasperating for them. And where do they see the truth in that? To lead them, take them by the hand and lead them. Don't worry, it comes up again in Colossians 3:21. Let's look at that third one. Have we given them a sense of belonging in our family, just as God has given us a sense of belonging in his kingdom? If we look at Psalm 103, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Y'all, we belong to him. He created us and he celebrates us and he guides us and he directs us with his love and his word. And there is no shame in the discipline when he disciplines us. There is only belonging and love. What better ministry to show to our kids than that of the truth that they are loved and they belong? If anyone has watched the TED Talk that Brené Brown if you haven't watched her TED Talk on vulnerability, I really do encourage you to watch the entire 20 minutes. It's pretty life-changing, to be honest. But there is this one quick little clip that I wanted to share with you guys about how we try to perfect our children and the damage that it can do. I love that. And I think that, and Brené Brown, she is a believer. It has changed the way that I parent. In every conversation I have, in every family activity I have, in every way that I respond to their missteps and their disobedience, do I also weave in that they have a sense of belonging in our family? Do they have a sense of belonging in our world? In my family, we know we belong to each other. My parents did a really good job of bringing that up. We loved being with each other. And they knew at the end of the day, even if some of the decisions we made were not the greatest, we knew we had a sense of belonging in our family. And I've tried to pass that on to my kids. Even we were just traveling for a day, and we came in, and my oldest sat down next to me as we kind of sat down to decompress right before bedtime. And he said, I really like being home together. I said, me too, buddy. I look at it in the high schoolers that I work with. They are desperately searching for a place of belonging. Let's let our kids feel that sense of belonging in our families. And more importantly, let's let them see why they belong. It's because we all belong to God's family. We are his together for a purpose. That's ministry. And fourth, do we give ourselves grace when we inevitably fail? And do we truly hold our kids up to him with open hands? Do we let them be a witness to the times that we fail? Do they know that God's grace and forgiveness, do they know that grace and forgiveness because we give it and receive it freely? Or do they see us shame ourselves every time we mess up? Do they see us take responsibility for our mistakes? Do they let them see us fail and see our response to that failure? For better or for worse, parenting is a lot about modeling. They will know how to fail and how to handle that failure by watching us. So when I get too patient with my kids or lose my temper, I have to swallow my pride and a lot of my anger, and I go and apologize. I apologize. What you did was wrong, but the way I responded to it was even worse, and I'm sorry. I was really impatient. They've heard me ask for God for forgiveness, and in the same prayer, thank him that he promises to love us no matter what. Because I want them to believe in humble redemption because they see me live it. And sometimes ministry to our kids means showing them it's okay to not be okay. We have to hold our kids with open hands because they're his. If we try to swoop in and fix everything, or on the other spectrum, shame them for all of their mistakes, how will they learn to go to God to see how he feels about what they did? If we try to finish every sentence that he could possibly speak to him or drown him out with our voice, how will they learn to go to him to say, okay, I'm sorry, and just sit in that stillness of how God feels about what they just did? And two other quick things I think about just showing ourselves grace within parenting that I always have to put a plug in. Embrace the village. Go to people. Go to parents. I bug Courtney all the time because she thrived in raising three boys. And I go to her a lot and saying, tell me I'll survive. Tell me I'll survive. How do I raise three good men? Go to people who have walked the road that you have. Ask for wisdom. And then I have to put a plug in for self-care. We have to carve out time for ourselves as parents and take care of ourselves. And whether that is showing our kids that mommy and daddy are a unit, we're going to go on a date, you guys are going to be fine, we'll see you tomorrow. Mommy is going to go for a run because I value myself and I have to fill my cup so that I can pour that love out to you. Carve out that time for self-care. It's not only important for yourself, but it's also really important for you to model that for your kids. And lastly, do we pray? We can't produce heart change in our kids. Only their creator can. So we got to pray. We got to pray that he creates a clean heart in them. We have to pray that he leads them on a godly path and to give them peace and a sense of belonging when that path looks different than the world. Because doing ministry without a collar and motherhood, fatherhood, and grandparenthood, it means lifting our kids up to God, knowing that he chose us. He chose us to be their parents. He chose us for them. And it's our God-given ministry to shape our kids to carry on his love, to carry on his ministry, and to make an impact. If you haven't watched the documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, about Mr. Rogers, please do. If you hear nothing today, please go see it. I was a mess, forewarning, when I watched it, because I think it's what our world needs right now. But one of my favorite quotes is, he says, the greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know that they are loved and capable of loving. And that's the ministry of parenthood. That's ministry without a collar and parenthood. We have to love our kids into knowing that they are loved by the Most High God so that they can love others with that same true love. I did bring these books not because they are the end-all be-all of truth, but whether they're distinct parenting books or not, I have found a lot of truth nuggets in them that kind of encourage me in hard times, and I wanted to bring you so that you can look at some of these titles. These are also the most random, again, Amazon. You know me too well. These are little things that I pull out for my kids, and they're like tiny little pamphlets about like God, and it teaches them about going to God and asking God, like, what do you think about what I just did? So anytime my, you know, son flashes his hot temper, then, you know, it's God, I need to talk to you about my bad temper. God, I need to talk to you about talking back. God, I need to talk to you about lying. God, I need to talk to you about sharing. I need to talk to you about disrespect. Every time I pull out one of these, the boys are like, ugh. I need to talk to you about hurting others. Have I mentioned the WrestleMania that happens in my house? I need to talk to you about being a bad sport, about greed, about whining, about paying attention. Teachers love that one. And about bullying. They're just like, they were like $5 for the entire pack. They're literally, it's by their packet. It's called God, I Need to Talk to You. And it's written by Dan Carr, C-A-R-R. And they come in a packet. And if you just Google it, there you go. But feel free to come up and look at these. And again, know that this was the hardest week for me to teach because it is coming from a place of complete humility and vulnerability that I have not found the answers. And I am still seeking day to day and blowing it every single day. But I wanted to share the things that encourage me, that scripture and stillness and then the wisdom of others that allow me to kind of foster that love of ministry without a collar within our families. I wanted to pick y'all's brain, though, to end really quickly. Next week is a little bit of a free-for-all, and so I really wanted to ask you guys, what do you want to cover for our last week? We've covered business. We've covered day-to-day ministry. We've covered parenthood. But I want to make sure that I end our series saying something you actually want to hear instead of just my voice. Is there anything that stands out that you guys want to know? Like, how the heck do I do ministry without a collar in this? Huh? Ooh, okay. Marriage. Man, that's going to be another humbling one. Okay. Okay. Right. You don't. Right. Okay. We can tackle that. And it could be a wrap-up free-for-all. I'll tackle marriage. I'll tackle that one. You could just be like my mom and just drop it anonymously at their front porch. Yeah. I like that. Anything else? Okay. We'll tackle marriage and we'll tackle kind of a wrap-up. And I'll bring some of the things I talked about with week one of how to do ministry and draw people in without pushing them away. Okay? Awesome. Thanks, y'all.